And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
Hi, and welcome to 1360 WCHL. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to The Art of Potential, a show about all things career-related, including getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Today, we will be talking about new beginnings for the resilient and powerful people. That would be you. We have the incredible fortune of talking with Jean McClendon. Jean is the director of the Satir Systems, which is located here in Chapel Hill. For those of you who have had classes in psychology or organizational change, the name Virginia Satir will ring a bell. Virginia was an internationally recognized expert on change both at the individual and organizational level, though she perhaps is most well remembered for understanding and researching family systems. Jean was mentored by Virginia for about 20 years, and then Virginia handpicked Jean to carry her vision into the future. Today, Jean herself is internationally in demand, and I was very lucky to grab her in between her engagements. She frequently presents in keynotes on topics related to organizational leadership and psychotherapy. When she's not presenting or in session, Jean is writing and teaching. Jean, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you would like to share with us about your work or Virginia?
I would like for you to know that I'm not the only one she handpicked.
Okay.
I probably am known most in that colleagueship for expanding her work beyond psychotherapy. So I hold a unique place in that colleagueship, but there were thousands of people who felt touched by her, who felt inspired by her, and who credit her with shifts in their lives that were profound. So I'm a part of a very large, extended, and global family.
How wonderful. When I was in graduate school, I was particularly taken with the work of Virginia Satir because of the way that she built people up and gave people the resources they needed to move forward in their lives and create what they wanted. And so when I saw that Jean was here in Chapel Hill, I was really excited to get in touch with her. Today we're going to be talking about change, and we all go through multiple changes in our lives. Career is just one of those changes. We also change our lives when we have relationships with new people or when we're going into a new academic setting. And we're going to be discussing different ways to carry yourself through the change so you get the outcome that you want. On the way to reaching your goals, you're going to be relying on yourself for the most part because you are always your greatest asset. And sometimes you are also your most underappreciated asset. And one of the things that change invokes is some fear around, can I do this? Can I get what I want? And a lot of that goes back to how you feel about yourself. And a lot of that goes back to how you feel about yourself. Jean has taken a lot of people through multi-levels of changes. Jean, can you tell us a little bit about that and how you see change impacting others?
There's all kind of change. You mentioned some. There's self-initiated change, and then there's change that comes from the outside. And I like to think about that as foreign elements that enter our sphere.
That's a great way to put it.
Some I invite in, and some land on me uninvited. Or at least at a conscious level, I don't invite them. Either way, once the foreign element penetrates my being, my awareness, I am going to go into something called chaos. The chaos is about what was familiar, what was predictable, what I have known to work, now not working. And it may be because it's a new job. It may be because I have a physical symptom that I'm now having to attend to. It may be a problem in a relationship that I have. But no matter, the foreign element unsettles us. That's the positive thing.
It doesn't necessarily feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way because it's disorienting.
Yep.
And what we are inclined to want to do is to go back to the way it was.
Maintain the status quo.
Right. No matter that it's a change we want. The familiar is like gravity. It just tugs on us.
Yep.
And so it takes a lot of intentionality. It takes a lot of courage. And I think a lot of support to go through that process of opening yourself to something that's transformative. And what we're all searching for when we're in that chaos is a better way. It's like being able to get a conceptualization of seeing ourselves beyond the chaos and not in the old familiar that was so costly. So we're in waiting, if you will, to birth a transforming idea. Now, where do those come from? They could come from reading. They could come from nature, prayer, conversations with a friend, work with a therapist, a dream. You don't know where it's going to come from. That's part of the scary thing. You don't even know if it's going to come until you have become, if you will, competent at the process of change. And that's what we all have to do because change is inevitable. We have to become competent at that process. That is leaving the familiar, entering the chaos, finding the transformational idea or conceptualization or vision of ourselves, and taking that in, owning that, integrating that into our sense of who we are and who we can be. And then, if that weren't hard enough, now we have to practice. And so we've got to take this new skill or new way of thinking or new way of being and practice it. And in time, we come to what I call a new status quo.
Because we've changed a little bit.
We have changed and we've grown. We've learned something and we're putting it and using it in our lives. And of course, about the time that we get really settled, we're going to either invite or have change drop on us again. For me, I think the most important thing is, one, is knowing we're going to have change as a part of our life forever, as long as we are alive. And we need support. Everything is easier with support. Yeah. One of my primary beliefs. Mm-hmm. And when we're in the phase of chaos, with all the doubt about ourselves and what's going to happen and how things are going to be for us, that's when we really need to have people who care about us and who understand what we're going through.
And truly love us for who we are, even on those days when we're not pleasant.
Absolutely. And if we have people around us like that, then actually I'm not going to have to be such an ogre under that stress because I can say I'm scared, I feel depressed, I'm doubting myself. And then I don't have to act that out by being irritable and grouchy and grumpy and blaming or placating.
Or giving those feelings a different venue to go through that isn't helpful to anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the process of change as I see it. And I can tell you a little story that in training with Virginia, I was doing a month-long residential program, and I literally felt like my mind was getting blown. And what was happening was there was so much stimulation that was foreign to me. I was unsettled. I was unglued. And I was confused. And so I asked somebody who seemed to not get confused and seemed to always be centered, always have everything together, And I wrote her a note that went around the table of about 35 of us who were there. And I said, before you leave, will you teach me what you know about change? She writes back, I don't know what you mean, but it's okay. And for me, that became my learning about change. I don't know at a moment in time where I might be headed, but it's okay. And I even know now that when I get confused and I'm in a new environment, that's because I'm in territory for which I don't yet have an ideal map. And so I'm learning.
Yeah.
That's my unique process about learning. Yep. I'm going to get confused before I really have it.
And some of that's even biological, as your brain is going through and cutting new neuropathways to try to lead you through it. Because like you said, you're getting exposed to all new thoughts and all new stimulus, and you're having to overlay some type of a map on it. You probably get a little tired, too, just going through all that work.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. You are listening to The Art of Potential. This is Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with Jean McClendon on 1360 WCHL.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back to The Art of Potential. This is Kristen Heemstra talking with Jean McClendon from Satir Systems, and we are talking about change. And one of the questions I have for you, Jean, is how do you take care of yourself when you go through change? What are some of the tools you need to add to your own toolbox so that you can start creating some type of picture like you're talking about that will help you form who you're going to be in the future?
Probably the most important thing that I need to have access to is my sense of myself. Mm-hmm. And I will couch that in the term of self-esteem.
Okay.
And self-esteem is probably like love. It's been here forever, and everybody writes about it. People argue about it. But I think everybody knows what it is. And what I'm talking about is not confidence. It doesn't have to do with confidence that I can ace this test, or competence that I've got this skill down pat. It's that in a deep knowing, I know I matter, mm-hmm. and I know I have value.
Yep.
And because of that, I'm in a position to really actualize more of who I am. And I happen to be, just like you and everybody who's listening, unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not another one of me around here, even though I have a twin. we are unique. And my gift is to learn more about that. That's the opportunity that I have. And if I want to maintain and grow my self-esteem, then there are some tools that Virginia created that are used metaphorically, but they carry with them, I think, very sound messages. And for example, there is the tool of the wishing wand. Now, metaphorically, all that is a way of saying, look, inside, I have some hopes. I have some aspirations. I have some dreams, and those are important for me to allow. They're important for me to be aware of. They're important for me to be able to speak about. They're important for me to take action. So the wishing wand is wonderful. I was just meeting with the family just a little bit ago before getting here, and I gave everybody a chance to choose the wishing wand that they wanted out of a bowl of them. I have it. And universally, that idea will, if, just imagine, you have a wishing wand in your hand. What is it you want? And ask yourself again, now, what is it? What do I want? What do I want? And listening. So that's one of the tools. And without that, we lack energy, because that the wish motivates and gives focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you're trying to get.
Right. And then, as they say, you won't know even when you get there.
That's true.
There's also a tool called the courage stick. And actually takes courage, I think, to let ourselves know what we want.
You know what? You're absolutely right, because it may seem too bold by what other people think. You know, you shouldn't want that. I hear that with young people. They don't necessarily want to share their dreams with others because they're afraid people will laugh at them.
Absolutely. And probably people have. Mm-hmm. It's too much to want for.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are mm-hmm. wanting that?
Yep.
But my counsel is to listen to those wishes. They're important. And with the courage, you can also begin to have a voice so that you can say what your hopes and wishes are, even though you may feel a bit intimidated.
It's okay.
Even though there's some fear, you don't let that stop you. And we all, these tools, we have every one of them. We're born with them.
Right.
So you don't have to go to Walmart and get them, okay? You don't have to go to a therapist right. and get them. You come to the therapist or to the coach or to the teacher or counselor or to a loved one already having these. It's just that we forget to use them. We forget to acknowledge that we have them.
I just have to tell you, the picture that came to mind was that in a way we kind of, in a relationship, we reach into somebody whom we care about and whom cares about us, but we can reach into someone who's willing to share that with us and help them grab hold of it so that we help them find that within themselves. And that, to me, would be a reflection of a solid relationship when you're willing to put yourself out that way, both for yourself and for another person. But I think that's how we can be good friends to each other, too.
Absolutely. And within the approach that I work from, there is the belief that we all have the resources we need for change, mm-hmm. growth, healing, and learning. And sometimes we just forget.
Yeah. And we never knew to start with.
Oh, we never knew to start with. And so having people in our lives who believe in us, and who might have a history with us and can say, when I'm saying, I just feel too frightened to move, they can say, well, I remember when you were courageous. Or you can go to a friend and say, did you ever see me do anything that took courage? Because I can't remember.
Help me out. Help a sister out.
Right.
You are listening to The Art of Potential. We are talking to Jean McClendon, and she is giving us some incredible tools to work through change. We will take a quick break and be right back.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Hi, and welcome back. You are listening to 1360 WCHL. This is Kristen Heemstra, The Art of Potential, and I am talking to Jean McClendon from Satir Systems. For more information about Jean, you can go to www.artofpotential.com. Jean is sharing with us the tools and resources we have to make our way through change. And we just learned about the wishing wand and the courage stick.
Right. The next one I want to talk about is called the detective hat. And that merely is about reminding us that we have this capacity in our brain that allows us to make sense of things. That's what our brain wants to do. Mm-hmm. It wants to make sense.
Amen.
It wants to analyze and sort things out. And we, fortunately, as a species, have a brain that can do that. Mm-hmm. We also have a brain that has enough plasticity to it that it can change. We can change our program.
We can. And I just like to say we are in charge of wiring our brains. I think we do forget that piece of it. Our brains are actually at the mercy of our will. So they will make sense out of whatever we will them to do.
Yes. In a sense, we can use our mind mm-hmm. to enlighten our brain.
Mm-hmm.
The detective hat is to remind us, look, when you're going through change, it is good to use your head.
There's a lot of value.
In fact, we often tell people who are in the middle of chaos and that kind of, that can feel like crisis, yeah. just don't make any big decisions at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Wait until you get a little more settled to make the big decisions. There is also in the maintenance toolkit something called the golden key. And the golden key, if you imagine putting that in your hand, is like opening a door to which you've never been before.
Ooh.
It's unfamiliar. It's new.
Okay.
And if you can imagine what it's like to be a two-year-old and you open for the first time a drawer in your mother's kitchen with all these pots and pans in it,
mm-hmm.
it's just delightful because it's all new, shiny and new. And this is about curiosity and our adventurous spirit. We do want to move into the unknown, no matter that it frightens us.
Right. It also entices us.
It entices us, yes. Then there's something called the yes-no medallion. And this is really has to do with our own integrity with ourselves. And then with others. It also has to do with setting boundaries. Now, if you are a Southerner, as I am, then you learned how, even though you might have wanted another piece of dessert, to say, no, thank you. All the while inside you're feeling, yes, I want another piece.
Please.
So we begin to distort. And we get mushy mm-hmm. inside with what's mm-hmm. our true yes and what mm-hmm. is a true no, and using our courage to say what that is.
And sometimes it is couched in the form of good manners.
Yes, yes.
Particularly in the South, but yes.
And yeah. what happens, though, when we do it for so long, we yeah. don't even know what the
right.
yes is.
We don't know who we are because we're just making sure that we're polite or whatever.
Meeting other people's expectations.
Yes. Very well said. Meeting other people's expectations, and they didn't necessarily even mean to give them to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's something called the wisdom box. Now, this one is more difficult to explain, but it is about symbolizing that part in each of us that you can think of as the quiet, soulful, higher consciousness, the wise one inside of us. And in our busy, busy lives, we often don't take time to listen to ourselves. And meditation, yoga, prayer, music, nature are all contexts in which we can get closer to that wise one inside of us that can truly give us the message of the direction we want to move in.
I have to tell you, the picture that's coming to mind is like a library inside of your brain of all your experiences, which is a little different. It's almost like you can go inside and pull something out and say, I've had this experience. But you're really not talking about experience as much as you're talking about intuition and knowing where you want to go.
Maybe it's a combination.
Okay.
Some way of accessing the deepest part of ourselves, that soul place,
mm-hmm.
And combined with our experience until that moment in time. So you do. You put the intuition, our ability to connect deeply to our knowingness about mm-hmm. what it is to be human,
mm-hmm.
And our knowingness about being connected to all humans. And in that place, we're more whole, we're more complete, we can be more open, less defensive, and we can learn more.
And that, to me, almost goes back to your self-esteem.
Yes, it does. And that takes me to the next tool, which Virginia did not have in her toolkit, but I added, I don't think she thought her students would need to be reminded about this resource, but it's the heart. Mm-hmm. And really, if I can come to value myself in the most loving way, be compassionate about who I am, where I've come from, what I've been through, it makes it so much more likely that I can do that with you
mm-hmm.
and with the next person.
Yep.
And without love and heart, we would be in sad shape.
Well, we'd just be in a state of judgment all the time.
Yeah.
We would be in very sad shape.
Yeah. So we have all these tools, and these are the ones that are going to help us when we're in chaos. And we may need support to access them. We may need support to find them because we haven't used them in so long, or we haven't been validated
right.
with them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jean. Again, this is 1360 WCHL. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra on The Art of Potential.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back to 1360 WCHL. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential, and I have the privilege right now of talking with Jean McClendon. She is from Satir Systems, and she just went over some wonderful resources for us that are within ourselves to make it through change. And one of the things that I want to bring up, Jean, because I know I see it and feel it in myself, and I see it and feel it in others, including my own children, is that when change happens, there's this desire to, like you said, maintain status quo. And sometimes in doing that, we try to put the change into a blame state and say, well, it's your fault I'm going through this, or woe is me, I'm the victim of this whole thing. There are all kinds of ways that we can embrace change, but sometimes, again, I know from personal experience, I'll take myself down a very negative path that it almost seems to render me powerless. I don't know if you've seen that in any of the other people you've worked with.
That's a slippery slope. And there are people who have been victimized
mm-hmm.
in their families, in work settings, in school and academic settings, you name it. And so the treatment of that abuse and how we carry ourselves forward is challenging. There are people, and you probably know some, I've known some, who can't seem to get through it because they can't claim their part in it.
Okay.
Now, I'm not speaking about a child claiming their part in it. Right. Children are not responsible for abuse that they receive. There is something that Virginia called the third birth, and I think we're talking about that. The first birth being when the egg and the sperm come together mm-hmm. and activate life, and then the second when I say we come out the chute, mm-hmm. and then the third is when we take full responsibility for the gift of our life. We take responsibility for our choices and our behavior. And if we can teach that to young people, it would make all the difference in the world.
It would. Literally, it would make all the difference in the world.
Because yes. you were speaking about blaming. Blaming is merely a form of war.
Oh, interesting. I never thought of it, you're right. Yeah.
If you think about yeah. blaming as that bony finger out
yeah.
there, the next thing you do is you put a gun in it.
Yeah, okay.
Now, also, if you imagine, again, your pointing your finger out at somebody and you're blaming them because you're hurting and you don't know how to deal with your hurt. Okay?
Okay.
The person is going to respond to the end of your finger. They're going to feel blame. Of course, they are going to become defensive, mm-hmm. and they'll probably blame back. But what needs to happen is that you need a way, I need a way, to be able to open my hand up so that what's there in the palm of my hand is what's important. And that's my hurt, my disappointment, my loss, my longings. And I have to learn how to live with those. They are mine, and they are a part of my being human. But if I don't learn along the way that this is a part of being human, and if I don't learn those tools to help myself manage myself when I'm out of sorts or having a difficult time, then I am inclined to have to get defensive. And I can get defensive and self-protective in a lot of different ways. And one that many people use, probably we all use at times, is blaming.
What I find is that when I move to a blame state, I lack then the inspiration to have a worthwhile outcome out of the situation because I'd spend my mental capacity there when it really needs to be spent more on the wishing stick and figuring mm-hmm. out where I want it to come
right.
at the end.
Well, it's isolating.
Yeah.
Because
who wants to be around that?
That's right. What you're needing is support and understanding.
Right.
And what you're going to get is a defensive response. People are going to either withdraw. They might placate you, but that's not authentic support to you. They may try to tell you what they read in a book, but mm-hmm. that doesn't touch your heart.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what you were saying before, you kind of need to know your own longings and have come to terms with the fact that you have your own hurts because then you can understand another person's hurts much deeper because you've already done that work yourself.
Right. And you can't be human and not come out wounded.
Because that's so sad, but it's so true.
Well, if we weren't wounded, though, what would we have to learn?
Good point.
The whole process of being here on this planet, I think, is about learning how to be more fully human and learning how to love better.
And learning how to reach our potential in more full ways.
Yes.
So we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about how to go through change in a way that when they come out the other side of it, they are more fully human?
Wow, what an opportunity. I hope I can say something wise.
Oh, you always do, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, I want to throw out a mouthful. It's the universality of emotionality.
That is a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. And for me, when those words first came out of my mouth, what I had just learned was that the kind of feelings I have, those that I love to have as well as those I feel embarrassed about mm-hmm. or I feel shameful about or have in the mm-hmm. past, not so much anymore, are part of my being human. And I have full choice about what I want to do about that. And the most wonderful thing that I can do about it is to understand where those feelings come from and to have compassion for myself about those feelings.
So you have to then trace back the origin of the feeling.
Yes, in a sense, the origin. How did I come to be so fearful? Mm-hmm. Or how did I come to withdraw from people when what I really want is connection? How did I learn to put my dukes up really fast
mm-hmm.
When I have any suspicion that someone is about to criticize me? these defensive responses we have are the ones that get in the way of our connecting with people. And if we want to be powerful people, we need to have quality relationships, because that's how we're going to move about the world. Yes. One person to the next person to the next to the next to the
next. Everything is through connections.
Yes.
Whether it's the workplace or your relationships, it's how deeply you connect.
And that's where the joy is.
Yep.
For being in relationship. And they're not always easy.
No.
And again, if you assume, as I do, that we all come out in some way wounded, along with all the resources we have, then we have a lot to learn. And we can learn a tremendous amount by being in relationship, taking the risk to open ourselves, taking the risk to reach out to someone, either for ourselves or on behalf of them.
And it's by taking those risks on a daily basis that we move into a creative phase of our lives, where we're not living in that fearful state anymore, because we have our fears, but we've kind of, in a sense, I think of slaying a dragon. We've kind of taken some of those dragons. A dragon to me symbolizes something that holds on to something that's not of value. It's like a dragon guards virgins and jewels. They don't need either one of them. So it's just a metaphor for saying some of the most, you know, wonderful treasure in our lives has a fear related to it that's not at all related to what's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we take and move through those fearful states, we open ourselves more and more up to change and to a creative future where I think, in my opinion, able to hear ourselves better.
Yeah.
And to hear that whisper of inspiration.
And for me, I want to leave with, we've been talking about change, mm-hmm. which implies the future.
Yep.
And our aspirations for the future. What we have is right now.
Well said. Well, Jean, thank you so much for coming today. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Again, you are listening to Kristen Heemstra on WCHL. The show is Art of Potential, and you can find out more about the show and Jean and Satir Systems at www.artofpotential.com.